Well, I would like to talk to you today. We've taken up the tithes and offerings, haven't we? Did we do that?
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. I want to talk to you this morning about the science of fatherhood. The science of fatherhood. And yes, thank you. Okay. We've got the jaywalkers leaving. So if you're 7 to 10, it's not because I'm a bad dad. And my daughter doesn't want to listen to my message. She's taking jaywalkers this morning. Let's give our jaywalkers a hand. Fathers are some of the most underestimated people in society today. And to all the dads out there, working hard for their families, paying off their mortgages, caring for their wives and extended families, doing your best to love God and those around you, you are champions. Give everyone a... Yeah, come on, let's give our dads a clap. And so I want to discuss this because scientists have suddenly realised that dads are actually important. And I do say that with all sincerity because it's only been in the last decade that they've done quite a lot of research on this. And I think it's because, especially out of the US and Connecticut, which I'm going to show you a little bit in a little while, I'll talk to you about. It's amazing. It's actually, let's just go there. So the science of fatherhood, this is a document, Why Dads Matter. I thought they did, but anyway... It's saying why dads do matter, and this is a 2012 article from Ronald Rohner who wrote this statement. We're now finding that not only are fathers influential, sometimes they have more influence on kids' development than mums. That got your attention. Rohner and his colleagues recently reviewed decades of studies on parental acceptance and rejection across the globe. Unsurprisingly, parents have a major effect on their kids. All the parents here? I salute you. Well done. But we have a major effect on our kids. And when, this is going on from the article. When kids feel rejected or unloved by mum and dad, they're more likely to become hostile, aggressive, and emotionally unstable. Parental rejection also can lead to low self-esteem, feelings of inadequacy, and negative worldviews. Behaviour problems, delinquency, depression, substance abuse, and overall psychological adjustment are all more closely linked to dad's rejection than mum's, Rohner said. By the same token, dad's love is sometimes a stronger influence for children than mum's, the researchers found. Knowing that kids feel loved by their father is a better predictor of young adults' sense of well-being, of happiness, of life satisfaction, than knowing about the extent to which they feel loved by their mothers. In other words, all the dads here, you're the man. Say it with me. You're the man. I'm the man. If you're a dad, I'm the man. What scientists have finally worked out about dads is already a part of the Bible's teaching. And it's interesting that Hayley actually read out my scripture for this morning. So if you'd like to turn there to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, let's have a look at this. Because this is the science that comes from the Bible. And I'll interact with a little bit of science from the people that do they do the science. And I'll talk about that as well. So, it says in the New Living Translation, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. The older version of the New Living Translation says, now a word to your father, to you fathers. Now a word to you fathers, like, now I just want to stop here for a minute, Paul's saying. Now a word to you blokes, you dads. And so this version is both, this verse is actually both an encouragement and a challenge. Paul is saying this is how you will be a great father, a great parent, but you'll have to work on it. And so science, by definition, in this particular aspect, is this: a systematically organized body of knowledge on a particular subject. So right here in this verse, we have the science of fatherhood. Dads, don't make your children angry. Now, all the dads, who's ever made their children angry? We all have, right? So what's Paul saying here? Because we are going to make our children angry from time to time. So let's look at this a little bit, because this is the science. Paul is not saying that dads can never make their children angry. That would be impossible. It's going to happen sooner or later. And anybody, and Jeff said this about his kids, he said no when they wanted to have yes. So anybody that you love, you have to tell them something they don't want to hear from time to time. And that may make that person angry, and sometimes the truth hurts, but it's necessary for their development. What this verse is saying is, it is entirely possible, particularly for fathers, to create in their children a kind of settled anger. If dads aren't careful, their kids can have a sense of resentfulness and frustration in an ongoing way. It's settled in. And so the bottom line, which scientists are now realizing, is this: fathers have the capacity to create angry children. Not just on occasion from correction, but through the father's ongoing bad behavior toward their kids. And now a word to you, fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. So Paul is saying to us from this verse, God knows that us dads have the capacity to tick our kids off. And the one thing God wants us fathers to be, if we're going to be the man, is men who care for those under our roof and control. Second, our trust is in our God. These guys said it so well this morning, our dad's here. And thirdly, and we will openly put our faith into action when it's needed. So, we've got a PowerPoint for this. Show our kids that we care about them. Show our children our trust is in God. Yeah. And openly put our faith into action. Yeah. Sarah was sharing around the dinner table. My daughter, Sarah, who's 19 years old now. Both my children live at home, they're adults, and live with us, and cost us a lot of money. Couldn't resist. Both doing university, mum and dad are poor. That's not the point, but anyway. Sarah was sharing around the dinner table the other day about two things that she had placed in her diary when she was a lot younger in primary school. She was praying and she wrote these two things down. And one of those was the school that she went to. And it was her dad, Andrea, my lovely wife, said to me, it was actually your dad that got you into the school that you wanted to go to. And I kind of went, oh, did I? Just kind of remembering back to this story. Because Sarah actually went to the school she wanted to go to twice. So, because she halfway through she went to another school, and it didn't work out, and she actually got in with a crowd that wasn't doing her any good, and it became quite critical that we move her, and it was very difficult to get her back into the school where she, you know, should have probably stayed. And so I ate humble pie and went and talked to the principal and took time out of the day, and we had these meetings, and I got my daughter back into a safe environment. And you know what that the principal said to me? She said in this instance, she said, what the pastoral care at home and the pastoral care at school was not married. And so you bring her back here, and immediately the pastoral care is going to be better and your daughter is going to be well looked after. I said, that's exactly my point. And she was accepted back into the school. Dads are important. Dads have a way that can just help. And I know if you're a solo mum here and you've got to do both, I understand that, but we're talking about dads today to a great degree. and show our children, we've got to show our children that our trust is in God. One of the best ways as parents we can show our trust in God is through demonstrating to our kids that God is important. We prioritize time for Him in our week. Connect groups come around. You can actually have it's the same old, same old. You can have that kind of attitude, or you can say, you know what? I can help someone else by going to that connect group. That I can be an encouragement to someone. I can actually be a great part of helping others do life better. And your children see that and they replicate who we are. Another way that we can show God is that we go to church. It's a really important part of our life. Giving is a high priority to us dads that love God. It doesn't hurt at all to let your kids know that because you're giving in a certain area, like Leap into Spring that we've just had, that we're going to sacrifice, and that holiday that we're going to have overseas, we're going to put it off a little while because we want to serve our God first and foremost. There are things that we do as dads and lead our families in that are really helpful in the long run for our children. So we openly put our faith into action, particularly with those we love. And this means at times we will need to discipline our kids firmly. And I talk about this because it comes up in the science of fatherhood, so that they understand the ways of God. Character traits that need adjusting. We are the men and women as parents who need to bring correction into our children's lives. See, the good news is that the Bible gives us a balance between training and instruction. Rather, bring them up with a discipline, training, firmness, and instruction, counsel, approved by the Lord. The Bible is saying that if you have to keep your kids from being angry, you have to balance truth and love. Say with me, truth and love. See, you have to balance discipline and counsel. You can over-discipline with too many rules, or you can under-discipline with not enough. I grew up under an extremely disciplined, well, it was like a regime at my house, actually. And I know that many people in my era was similar. My dad was an army man, and he had quite strict rules. And I, especially when I was a teenager, found it difficult because you want to express yourself. And I think if you overparent at times and you want to do the right thing by your kids, it's great. But we have to remember that our kids are not animals; they are humans. And so it's like the lion tamer and the lion. Eventually, the suppressed lion is going to lash out. And so on the other hand, most of us, and I would say the majority of parents these days, do it the other way around. And probably to compensate for the way they were brought up and because of the way society views children. And so we have to see the science and what the Bible says. And take that as the word of God for our lives as parents and especially as dads, rather than what society puts on us. See, here's the thing. When as a parent you let your child do what they desire all the time, you are forgetting that they are not adults. Bring them up with discipline, firmness and training. Firmness and training. So the science of fatherhood, just to talk about this, at the University of Connecticut, this is they call it the magic fathering style that was linked to a persistent and persevering attitude in kids. It's called, wait for it, authoritative parenting. This is the magic style that scientists have decided is the way to bring up our kids. Authoritative parenting. Wait for it. A style characterized, because authoritative parenting can be warm and loving. Say it with me. Authoritative parenting is warm and loving. But then there's accountability to the rules as well. And I take this, if your kids are adults like mine are and they're still under your roof, then this applies. Because if they want to go and live outside of your walls and under your rules, then that's different. But while they're under your roof, the same rules apply. And so we can see from this explanation that the Bible has some really healthy advice for us dads and parents. On the one hand, we must give our kids time, affection, and love. We need to do that. But on the other hand, we need to give good, smart rules and then stick to them. Everyone say, stick to the rules. Because I think this is where many parents get it a little bit off centre. My observation as your pastor would be that some of you are a little bit off centre. You know, and so let's bring it back to the Word of God and what the science of the Bible today, and bring up our kids so that they actually love us to bits. They're crazy about us. And the strange thing about it is authoritative parenting does work. Loving counsel and firm discipline. Let's say it together. Loving counsel and firm discipline. See, Paul says in this verse, bring them up. Bring them up. Keep them from being too dependent on you. And be careful not to push them out the door too soon. The purpose of parenting, the PowerPoint for this, the purpose of parenting is to bring them up. This means we raise them to the place where they do not need you. Raising your children to have the critical ability to know right from wrong. To be raised up or brought up to go out on their own, solid in who they are. Up means that you have to trust them. Up means you have to give them the freedom to fail. It is not needing to hold on so tightly because you're always trying to live your life out through them. Bring them up really does mean letting them go. On the other hand, Paul is not saying, bring them up, get it over with, see you later, kids, fantastic, I've got freedom. Bye, kids, push them out the door. So if you push your kids out too soon or too quickly, maybe because life at home isn't so good, maybe because of some other circumstances, they can feel frustrated, rejected, angry, and alone. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with a discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Bring them up. Give them the support they need so they are not pushed into interdependence too quickly, but at the same time, don't mollycoddle. That means overprotect your children. Bible's pretty serious about some of this stuff, isn't it? You know, instruction that comes from the Lord. It's really important that our kids see how God is for us as parents. If our kids can't see how God is for you, the parent, then they won't be able to follow your example. See, modern culture says, yeah, but I don't want to push my faith on my kids. I want them to choose for themselves. And studies have shown that children who have been given even a little moral instruction, even if it's poor moral instruction, are not frustrating their kids like parents who give no moral instruction. The Pastor Kevin Connor came to our church about 15 years ago when we were in the old building. He's a father of the faith in the Pentecostal movement. And as a church at that time, there's no doubt that we were struggling. I know I was. And I wasn't too sure what direction to take at that time. And Kevin was encouraging, and he gave me some solid advice for our struggling church at that time. And we gave him at that time quite a substantial offering. It really hurt our accounts. Well, it was a good offering. Felt we wanted to honor the man because of his standing in just who he is, and he was coming to our little church at the time. And so we did that. And you know, he phoned me. Now, this is the fathering part. He phoned me and said, thank you. That is so generous. And really, I know that was just an amazing gift. Thank you for that. And then he said, I'm going to tithe back to your church on that gift for your ministry at Fremantle. And I didn't actually get it at the time, but I do now. He was saying, I believe in you. He was saying, what you're doing is significant. He was saying, yes, if you have some things to learn, but you know what, Nigel? Just keep going. It's going to be okay. Yeah. See, the biblical way to bring up your children is to point your children toward the Lord. Pray for and with your children. I was with someone the other day, and I could just tell that they pray for their kids a lot. I can't remember who it was. Someone in the church, and I was just, oh, they came. It was Jonathan and Sheila, our campus pastors, and they came to the prayer meeting with their kids. And their kids were like, you know, and little Luke's there, and he's praying with his hands up. And I thought, this is so cool. All three boys, who knows, keeping one boy at that age, but there's three boys, and they're all praying. Incredible. What a great thing to show our children for the years ahead. Talk about your own walk and testimony. We have to say what God means to us. Why he is important. Tell stories to our kids of his faithfulness in our lives. We've got to live as a godly example. We have to get our lives together so that our children see us living a morally consistent life. You know, I'm so grateful all those years ago, and Charlie and Ellen remember these days when we were at the football club and we never knew where we were as a church, and we'd go from this room to that room trying to set up, and all the stuff was in our front lounge, Andrea, at my house, and we'd take all the speakers and set up, and it was a lot of work. And on top of that, I remember Andrea running out the door because Jared had cut his head open and gone to the hospital, and all these things are going on. But, you know, when we sit around the dinner table now, they look back on those things and say, thank you, Dad and Mum. Thank you for persevering, because we love church. We love being a part of what you're doing. We know it's significant and it's making a difference to other people's lives. We all have stories that we can share with our children. We all have things, and okay, most of you aren't pastors here this morning, but you can actually have a witness of how God has done something significant in your life. Whether it be, I gave into this area like leaping to spring, and God did an amazing thing over here. Talk to your kids. Let them know the sacrifices that we make. We bring them up. So let me ask you, will you be the man that God intended you to be if you're a dad here today? Because you are the man. Because you understand your mission. See, the science of fatherhood, the science of being a godly man and woman is right here in this verse. Bring them up with a discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. If you're going to avoid your children being angry and frustrated and discouraged, you must have a balance of truth and love. Why is it that many of us under-discipline our kids? Mostly because we want our kids' approval. We can't bear to have them look at us and go, oh, but that's not fair, Mummy. That's not fair, Dad. That's so cruel, you know. We can't face it, so we decide to under-parent. But when we come under his influence, when we come under the word of God and what he wants for our lives, because we're not living out of just a natural relationship, we're living out of a supernatural relationship with God. And when we put our faith in God and discipline our kids and bring them up with authoritative parenting as the science has now caught up with the Bible, what happens is that they actually get faith into their own hearts as well. Amazing. What a great God we serve has given us this little verse about the science of fatherhood. The gospel alone frees me to discipline my kids. I don't think you got that, everyone, this morning. The gospel alone frees me to discipline my kids. See, I am loved unconditionally by God, yet I'm a sinner and need his guidance. And the gospel frees you from having your children just right. Some parents are utterly humiliated if their kids aren't making the great grades at school and they're not going to that university, not doing this or that. Only the gospel will free you from having your children perfect in every way. The gospel means that we get our identity entirely from who we are in Jesus. Entirely. And some parents need to keep their children dependent on them. Why is that the case? Because they need to be needed. And there is a lack of orientation to the gospel. You're forgetting who you are in Christ. You are trying to get from your children what you can only get from the gospel. On the one hand, some parents tend to push their kids up too soon because they don't want their kids around. But when the gospel takes hold, selfishness goes. And the gospel gives you the kind of experience you can share with your children. When the gospel is in your life, your children will be interested. No gospel, no balance. See, the science of fatherhood is a balance of truth and love. Everyone say truth and love with me. It's a balance of dependence and independence. And you help point them toward the Lord. The gospel is everything you need. If I could have the musicians, that would be fantastic. And so when I ask these fathers this morning, what's the best thing about being a father? It is knowing that we can put God's future into our hearts by the way that we lead them. We're not just a dad because that's what happened. We lead them. And the most challenging thing, which the guys all said it anyway, about being a dad is living a life that demonstrates our faith in God. And now a word to you fathers. Why don't we just bow our heads for a moment. Close our eyes. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Bring them up with discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. And Father, today, I pray for every father, every parent, every person that's thinking about children, having children in the future, Lord. Lord, every one of us, I pray that the gospel would come upon our life in greater measure, that our identity is first in you, and that we would bring correction and love, that there would be a style, Lord, this magic style that they call in sciences and our calling, authoritative parenting, with love but also discipline, that we may be your children and bring up great kids for your glory. Thank you, Jesus.